Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. I'm talking to Karen Blank, who's with the Association for the Alzheimer's Association, and Sally Marchese and Steve Simons. We're talking about the reason why they're in the conversation is because they have family members that are afflicted with it. Sally, Karen, do you have anybody in the family?
My grandmother passed away from the disease.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys all have a firsthand look at this. We wanted to talk about something that was inspiring. You said you had some information for us.
Yes, we just had a corporate breakfast where we invited Long Island business people to come and hear a little bit about what the Alzheimer's Association is about and how they could get involved. And
where was that held and when was it?
It was held at Carlisle on the Green on April 9th.
Uh-huh.
And we had one of our researchers, Dr. Dean Hartley from the association. He oversees the MedSci group over there. So we have a bunch of researchers that are doing really exciting stuff. So he came and really, I think a lot of times with research people, you know, it's scientific, it's very hard to understand what's going on. So he really explained a lot about the disease and...
A good scientist is a good communicator.
He was great.
He was great. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, Steve and Sally were there. So yeah. It was really neat for people to understand, you know, how passionate the association is to fund the research and all the exciting things that are going on. And also to understand a little bit more about the disease and some, you know, misconceptions about it.
When you say exciting things that are going on, can you give us an example of something that you impressed you?
I think one of the things they were talking about, there was the study with the sonograms. I think he was talking about that, how that there was some exciting research.
What does a sonogram tell you?
It was more like giving sonograms to people. Again, I'm not a scientist, so excuse me if it doesn't sound so scientific, but how, you know, looking at the different people and, you know, people that are predisposed to Alzheimer's, maybe have a history of it, and those that aren't, you know, how the sonogram therapy had kind of helped and, or maybe
so
not helped.
So it's not so much to see inside.
It's to use it,
it's,
you know,
to
over
use
time.
It
yeah.
as a stimulation.
Yeah, so it's one of the things that they're looking at, that yeah. there is, you know, so some interesting things like that. So it was just exciting to see because we're all so passionate. We all want to find a cure. So he was very... you know, it was very interesting to hear, I think, what he had to say about what's going on.
When I hear people say things like sticky plaque,
yeah,
that tells me that maybe there's some way that we can jog it loose and make it free it from its from the neurons. I'm making this stuff up. I have no idea what I'm talking
Sounds
about.
Sounds good.
Well, you know, one of the things that the association is doing is there are some people that hereditarily will 100% get the disease.
Yes.
So they do the testing on people to find out if hereditarily you're going to be predisposed to this.
Let's say that again. They know that
there is a group,
people.
Yes. There is a group of people that your parents had the disease at a certain age, and you will get that disease at that certain age. Not all people will have Alzheimer's if your father or mom has it. That's not necessarily the case, but they'll do this blood work on you.
Yes.
And they find out that you are predisposed to the disease. You have the gene, and you're going to get it. So the Alzheimer's Association right now is doing a study where they're gathering these people up that they know will get the disease, and they know around when they will get it because you get it at the age that your parent first developed it. Mm-hmm. So if your parent started getting it at 55 or 65, you're going to get it at 65 because you're predisposed, you carry the gene. They're following these people in a study right now, and they're hoping to see what it is that happens. They're trying, because again, the association is trying to catch this before it happens. And if they can have a group where they know they're going to get the disease, it's better than studying a group of 1,000 people or 10,000 people that may or may not ever get it. We don't know what we're looking for yet. We know these people are going to get it, and we know when they're going to get it. So
now,
it's more informative.
The more we know about the genetic structure and the genomes and all that, we know that we can splice genes. I mean, it's new. But does that mean that we can, let's say, take a child who's predetermined to have the gene and correct that gene at a young age?
And that would be wonderful. I don't know.
I don't know either. I wonder if anybody in the audience would know that and maybe communicate with the station. because that's a kind of interesting concept. I just was listening to something on NPR about the Japanese scientists that were working with that gene splicing, and there was a big ethical thing about it.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, can we make the human race better? Or similar, and is there, you know, are we playing God here? Well, yes, we are. We've been playing God since forever.
Right.
Sure. Ever
right.
Since, you know, we invented penicillin. Maybe it was God's will that you should have died, you know? Mm-hmm. But now penicillin says, no, you're not going to die. You're going to live. So I have no ethical problem with that. I mean, unless what you're doing is creating bad things. You know, mm-hmm. you're creating better things for people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have to take a deep breath and say we have to consider that. You know, one of the things that's happening right now is that, in fact, Steve is going to be on out there. I don't know, maybe you're coming too, to the Brookhaven National Laboratory,
yes.
To the license. You coming too?
I am not.
Okay. They believe that they can look at subatomic structures, you know, really tiny, tiny things with this resource that they have. It cost $1 billion. Well, I'm exaggerating. It was only $970 million.
And, give or take a few.
To build this thing, and it's immense. And, of course, the practical uses for it in industry are probably going to come about pretty quickly. But where they can, rearrange molecules so that they can take a steel molecule, an iron molecule, and arrange it in a way so it's half the weight of aluminum, mm-hmm. and twice as strong, you know. And you say, how could they do that? Isn't strength a matter of density, you know? But like this table seems like a solid, but in fact it's almost all nothing. Mm-hmm. It's these atoms are so far apart that if you had the atoms in here, one was a basketball, the other one would be in St. Louis.
Right.
You know, the other part of the atom.
Right.
So, can we take the brain, and they're talking about Alzheimer's too, by the way, in this project, and look at it and find out the real essence of what causes the disease. And I say, you know, Brave New World, this is wonderful stuff. And I find it pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You might want to ask that question when you get out there, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. I'm looking forward to that, actually.
It's 10,000 times more powerful than the most powerful light source that's ever been built.
It's incredible.
Wow.
It's incredible.
10,000 times more.
It's incredible.
Now, the Swiss had one that was the state of the art until we built ours. America's still got pretty smart times.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things that I wanted to mention about being connected to the Alzheimer's Association is when you meet some of the folks that are you know, doing the research, and Karen mentioned Dr. Hartley, just inspiring, really brilliant people, passionate, and certainly there to do the right thing, you know, do something good for humanity, in my opinion. And it's just really, it's encouraging to see that kind of those kind of people at the helm, trying at the forefront, trying to make, you know, make a difference.
You know, these people who do that, they're intellectually superior people to begin with. And then what they do is they take that intellect, and instead of making $1 billion on Wall Street, they do some things that are far more challenging and less remunerative.
Absolutely.
But these are the people I fall in love with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've known people like that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm very close to the scientists that built the accelerator out in Brookhaven. I do, you know, I hang out there. This is where other kids hung out in the schoolyard, you know. But I love these people because they can work on a problem for the rest of their lives and never come up with a solution. But you know what they do? They took out all the things that didn't work. Absolutely. The next generation.
Right.
And I think that's the way they think.
They're always asking, what if?
Yeah. What if? And I think that's exactly what how they think, because it's not about me being a big shot and doing all that. It's about me making something better, different, and solving a real problem.
Yes, incredibly modest.
Yeah. I'll tell you another story in the next segment, but we're going to close in a few minutes, a few seconds. I want to thank you all for coming, because this is really interesting stuff, and I think it's what I do in life is only interesting.
That's why you hang out at Brookhaven.
That's right. I'm the most self-indulgent horse's ass you ever met. This is Ernie Fazio. I've been talking to Karen Blank with the Association for the Alzheimer's, and Sally Marchese and Steve Simons. This is Earnestly Speaking. Thank you for listening.